Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
What is up? My name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And it's September.
It's almost football time.
And we are talking about the Nebraska Cornhuskers today. The Cougars take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln, a task that is not easy. Season openers in Lincoln have gone very well. Nebraska has won.
For
Nebraska. And they have won 29 straight. And the last time they lost was to Florida State, close game, and that was back in 1985. So it has been a long time since they've dropped a game to open their season. And while it has been against, you know, lesser talent than them, they have stepped up and played a couple road games in that mix. They've played Iowa, they've played Oklahoma State. They played a game against Florida State. They've had four other games against teams that were preseason, top 25 caliber teams, and they've always come out on top. So very, very stout and difficult chance for the Cougars to go in to Lincoln, Nebraska, open a season, and come out with a win. That it was even more rare than them coming away with the season-opening road victory. But they did it last year, and they broke the Brad streak. Can we actually start building a streak of our own where we win our season openers?
Well, we've got a streak of one right now.
Streak of one. UConn is no Nebraska. Nebraska, obviously, last time we talked about them, their three-year average, they have been the 31st best team in America over the last 3 years. That wasn't good enough, Nebraska. No, sir.
New coach.
New coach. They got rid of Bo Pelini. 9 wins doesn't cut it for the Huskers. And so now they went out, they grabbed In-N-Out's own Mike Riley and have brought him into town. Mike Riley of Oregon State came to the Huskers. Now, he's very familiar not only with Brigham Young University. He's played them several times recently. He's lost some. He's won some. But he also is familiar with Bronco. He fired Bronco at one point.
Yeah. I mean, so there maybe that's just boiling inside Bronco right now.
Yeah. Maybe something like that's boiling inside Nick Howell. But the point is we will see the Cougars take on Nebraska. The Big Red of Nebraska have a formidable team. We respect them very much here on CougarCast.
They've got some players. Let's break them down because we definitely need to make sure that we are not overlooking the Cornhuskers as BYU fans.
Starting at quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers this Saturday, it is Taysom Hill of Jace, Tommy Armstrong.
Yeah, the guy's good, and you already referenced that a lot of people compare him to Taysom Hill. He was their second leading rusher last year. Had okay passing stats. He only completed 53%, but, you know, he threw for 2,600 yards, almost 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns to only 12 interceptions. He's a formidable quarterback.
And he runs, right? He was second on his team in rushing last year and took it to the house a few times, rushing the football as well. He doesn't rush as well as Taysom Hill rushes, but, again, he's still a threat that way. And BYU fans are very uneasy about running quarterbacks. And I think that's a fair reputation with Bronco coming back. Even with Bronco as the defensive coordinator, this has been an issue for the Cougars in the past, handling a mobile quarterback.
I feel like we've been a heck of a lot better at that the last several years than the previous several. But still, it gives any defense fits.
And the key player to try to neutralize a mobile quarterback is your inside linebackers, or would you say it's the outside linebackers?
I would say, well, linebackers. I don't know. I have a hard time choosing between. Yeah, a lot of times when they have somebody shadow the quarterback, it's the middle linebacker. But it's obviously important the outside linebackers are doing outside contain within the scheme. So
we're going to see Manoah Pakula and Jeremiah Lutua Dier starting on Saturday, and they will be tasked with spying Tarmi Armstrong.
And Harvey Lange will be playing the second half, and I think so that'll be hopefully he makes a difference. But it'll be interesting. You know, Tarmi Armstrong, the Nebraska faithful and media are hyping his much improved passing game, and they are licking their chops about going against BYU's 112th ranked defense against the pass last year. So it's time to step up and really, or shut up this week against the passing game. On another interesting note, how many opponents are we going to have that also have a Riker? I don't know, but Nebraska has one. Their second string quarterback, a guy named Riker Fife.
A lot of Star Trek The Next Generation parents
out
there. Is
that where that's from? We have a Riker Matthews.
Having children.
And so that's the only Riker I've ever heard of.
There was a Commander Riker underneath Jean-Luc Picard.
All right, there we go.
Anyway, so he's handsome too. Bearded. It's a good look.
Back to football.
Let's talk about running game real quick for them. They lost, obviously, Abdullah was a fantastic running back for the Huskers. Over the last few seasons. Stepping in now for the Cornhuskers, Terrell Newby and Imani Cross, and it's by committee.
Yeah. It's unlike last year. They don't have a lead back. They've got several talented backs. And that's for me reading about and just looking at pictures of these guys. I had the thought, and I've made the comment, if we had one of these guys, BYU fans would be going crazy.
Right.
I mean,
but they're on the other side, they're only okay.
They're on the other side, and they've got a whole stable full of these like backs that look like premier running backs.
Right. You got to be able to run hard in that Big Ten. Obviously, the pedigree of the Big 12. Nebraska's always been a good running team. They've always had, offensive line. The guys in the trenches for Nebraska have always been big. You know, everyone always says farm boys, but they're just big guys, and they know how to block. We think Newby is the guy you're going to see more than Cross. Cross is a big guy. He's 6'1". He's 240 pounds. He's going to be their short yardage back, I would guess. Terrell Newby.
Junior.
He's junior. He's going to be more featured throughout the game. I think he'll get more carries. And he's a 5'10", 200-pound guy, a little bit more speed probably. And so, the ability to get out and attack the edge running the football. Cougars should be good, though, at stopping the run. They were fantastic last year against the run.
We're always good at stopping the run. What makes me somewhat concerned is who our players are going to be.
But if a team is going to run against BYU, it's to the outside.
Yeah.
It's not in between the tackles, usually.
Well, when we've had fast outside linebackers, that's mitigated that. But it's time for Fred Warner to be that guy, the guy that stops teams from being able to run outside. So it should be a fun matchup to watch. Their running game versus our defense, linebackers and defensive line.
A bad break has come for the Nebraska Cornhuskers during their fall camp. DeMornay Pearson-L, he was out for the season. It's a big blow for Nebraska. He was one of the best punt returners in the country last year. He took three back for touchdowns. I think he led the nation in punt return average.
It would be as if James Dye was out back during his heyday. It really would. That's a huge statement, but this guy was the best return man in the country and their second leading receiver returning.
Right.
And it was such a big blow to their fans and their team.
Injuries stink, but it's already difficult to go out there. And in some ways, this is a nice break for BYU. I don't mean that, I hope he gets better. I hope I see him on the field. I remember watching him in a game take one back last year, and he's electric. I love guys like that, guys that really play out in open space and know how to you know, weave their way through. I thought Devin Hester, you remember how fun it was watching Devin Hester and Ty Montgomery at Stanford was fantastic. He'll be great on the Packers this year. There's a little fantasy football tidbit. Get him off the waiver wire, people. And anyway, so the whole thing is I love players like that. It's fun to watch them. And those players in particular are usually pretty solid against BYU. And so that's a break for BYU and a bad break for Nebraska. You mentioned the second leading receiver in Pearson L. The leading receiver from last year's squad is returning this year. It's Jordan Westerkamp. He's reliable. 6 foot flat. 195 pound receiver. He had 44 catches for 747 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. Reliable option for them.
Totally. And what scares me is that he obviously had a lot of chemistry with Tommy Armstrong, their returning quarterback. You know, and so whenever you have a great receiver and great quarterback coming back again, you know, I think, you know, think back to a la Max Hall and Austin Colley. You know, it's just like the more years they're tearing people up, it's almost like they could start reading each other's minds and they just know what they're going to do. And so that matchup really does scare me.
How are you feeling about BYU's defense overall versus Nebraska's offense? And what sort of things are each unit's going to have to prove early in the game?
So to me, it's such a big unknown. Last year's defense was terrible, the worst in the Bronco era. The players, I don't know if you watched that inside the BYU football show.
I got to catch it, yeah.
But the BYU players are pretty stoked on having Bronco back as the head defensive guy.
They sure
are. And they seem to have a lot of confidence, which that gives me some confidence, but time will tell.
There's a lot of shade kind of thrown out there about what was happening last year.
I agree. That them talking so happily about having Bronco back made me feel like a little awkward for Nick Cal.
Like he's sitting at home watching. He's like, guys, I'm still here.
He's still on the squad.
Like, I'm still here, guys.
And the players are just praying that
they're
this
just
is so
like,
much
oh,
better.
Oh, gosh. You know, I didn't come to BYU to have to deal with what I dealt with last year.
Well, they didn't say that, but it was...
sort of.
No, not that strong, but it was still uncomfortable for me thinking of Nick Howell or his sweet wife watching this show.
Keep your eyes on the Nick Howell Bronco scenario. That's just, we've said it twice now. All right. In the past, when Mike Riley has been successful against Bronco Mendenhall coach defenses, what has been the makeup of those offenses that have done so well against Broncos defenses in the past under Mike Riley?
When Mike Riley torched us in the past, he had elite receivers, NFL caliber receivers. And what he did, because Broncos defense is tough, you know, and it can really throw off of offensive lines, quarterbacks, get some pressure. What he did is he just kept more players in, what they call max protect. Only sent two guys out on routes. But his two guys were beating our defense, and he was torching us.
It was Brandon Cooks and Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah.
NFL players.
And Brandon Cooks, I believe, had like 173 yards receiving that game. And they blew the doors off of us in the fourth quarter, especially.
And it wasn't a special quarterback, right? It was
their second string.
Yeah. Because Mannion got hurt before, right? And so Cody Vaz came in and played. Yeah.
It was. So I don't think – he might try to do that again this week, but I don't think he has the receiving talent. And I'm not convinced Tommy Armstrong, a 53% quarterback last year, is going to be able to do that. But – we need this defense to show up. We need our corners to play better than they did last year. The biggest thing, though, is going to be our defensive line if it can put pressure on the quarterback.
But we like our defensive line. There's components of that defensive line we like. We're very grateful that Bronson Kafusi's back on the D-line. I like Travis Tuiloma. I think he's a good player. And then on the other side, Remington Peck has been serviceable. I wouldn't say that I would feel great about Remington Peck. Logan Teale, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think between those two, hopefully one of them has a better year than they've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they should be steady, right? I Bronson talked a little bit on that Inside BYU Football about how the three of them are going to put pressure and do things like that. But in the 3-4, that's just cherry on top, right? Ultimately, it's neutralizing the offensive line and letting linebackers do their job.
Yep, and that'll be –
And so BYU's defense needs to find out if there's going to be a playmaker at that linebacker.
What's nice is we'll know after this week whether we have a legit defense or not. This is going to be a real test against a balanced offense.
Yeah, but let's say it goes badly. I don't think you can say that this isn't a legit defense. Like, it's Nebraska. It's a good team. Like, they still may be
We're playing a lot of legit teams this year. And so, on the flip side, if our defense just plays lights out, I think we have a lot to look forward to, and it really raises the possibilities of this season.
All right, and then on the other side of the ball, Nebraska's defensive players, a lot of inexperience at linebacker, right? That's their issue.
Their most talented linebacker, a guy that missed last year but was dynamic before that and looks dynamic now, he's not going to be playing.
Michael Rose Ivy, he's suspended for game one.
Great name, Rose Ivy is the last name.
That is awesome, yeah.
But he's out, so we won't hear that announced. Their best player on their entire team, from an NFL prospect situation, Malik Collins.
But he's a little bit unproven at this point. He had 17 tackles last year. It wasn't like he was a dominant force for the Cornhuskers last year. Now, I didn't do enough research, right? He may have been injured, and that's what derailed everything for him. I don't know, right? All I'm saying is just from a quick look, I didn't look at it and go, oh my gosh, Malik Collins. But his body is fantastic. Right? He's a big kid, 6'2", 300 pounds.
Yep.
Moves well, disruptive on the line.
And yeah, their D tackles, that's their strength. What I will mention, their D line, formidable, maybe the best D line we'll play against all year, but they're a run-stopping D line. What their fans are a little afraid of is if they are going to be able to put any pressure on the quarterback.
It'll be important if they can push by that defensive line. It's possible that Taysom Hill against those linebackers, that's a very bad scenario for the Cornhuskers. On the defensive line, they have another player named Vincent Valentine. Vincent Valentine, again, another big, big, big boy. Huge on that defensive line. 6'3", 320 pounds. And
didn't we have a fan of the show that emailed us something about the name Vincent Valentine?
Yeah, you know, for those who remember Final Fantasy VII, Vincent Valentine was a character that you could play on that game. He always wore red, just as, anyway.
So we may have five crazy Final Fantasy fans out there.
Yes.
They're just loving that.
They're just like, wow, where's the Photoshop joke with with the football player with the video game character head on it. But, interesting name. Anyway, defensive line, obviously, tough task for the Nebraska, for BYU to handle for Nebraska. What about in the secondary?
So, they've got some seniors at cornerback. The biggest thing on the secondary that I'm excited about and that it's going to be something to watch. So, their defensive coordinator, Mark Banker, his quote, "The corners have the most responsibility of anyone on the field." And then it goes on to say they'll often be without safety help in this defense. It's going to be, can Mitch Matthews, can Nick Kurtz, can the Kobe Pearsons, the Devin Blackmans, can they be able to beat their guy one-on-one? That's where I think we're going to put Nebraska on their heels. Because I love the fact that they're going to try to guard our guys one-on-one. We'll see if we can do anything about it.
It'll be an interesting thing. If BYU can win that battle, again, their opportunity to win this game is going to be a lot higher. And if Taysom can make the throws, right? Obviously, that'll be an important thing as well. With no safety coverage over the top, though, doesn't that stretch the field for you?
It should if you can make them pay. The thing that scares me is that we've had trouble with teams that do that. Utah, for instance, puts their corners on an island, just does one-on-one, and the last few times their defense has got the better of our offense. So hopefully Taysom's passing game's improved. Hopefully we have a receiving core that's able to get open against athletic, tall corners.
Well, Mitch Matthews proved himself last year, and if we were going to hope to have a skilled player to take on kind of the most important section of that defense, we would probably pick Mitch Matthews outside of Taysom Hill. So I think that'll be really interesting. So keep your eyes on what number 10 in blue is doing out there against the corners. Keys to the game for me, one of the most important things for the Cougars to do is to get out in front early. The Cougars are always more effective when they pass less with Taysom Hill. They've lost very few games. They've only lost one game, I believe, when he's passed two games when he's passed under 39 times. 40 and over, it gets a lot worse. He's 2-4 when they've had to pass a lot. You have to pass more if you get down early. And so I'd like to see the Cougars be able to run, use their identity, and get an early lead. That leads me into another point, which is red zone. Red zone performance improved last year, but there was a lot of times where it turned into field goals, a good percentage of the time, about 30% of the time, if I remember. I can pull it up. But red zone performance will be important for the Cougars. You and I have talked about this. Taysom, when it gets tighter in there, he doesn't really like to throw it in the red zone.
No, that's where he looks to run. Which, for me, I don't care if he throws it or runs it, as long as we get in there. But it's just, he needs to be a little bit more crafty with his arm so that they just don't start stacking the box in the red zone. Because defensive coordinators observe what we observe, that, hey, when we get to the red zone, Taysom becomes a lot less likely to pass, and then they're going to adjust. So it's that game of cat and mouse. He has to counter that by actually throwing some good passes in the red zone.
So the Cougars were able to put it in the end zone 71% of the time when they made a trip into the red zone. Then they made field goals on 17% of the time, and then they didn't get in the rest of the time. So red zone performance will be an important metric for the Cougars, as always. The other one I wanted to bring up was penalties. BYU was really bad last year in penalties, in particular the very costly ones, which are automatic first down penalties. Cougars gave up 31 automatic first down penalties. That was good for 116th in the country. There's 122 teams.
That's disgusting.
124 teams. So 116th in the country, almost nearly three times a game, the Cougars would give up a free first down to their opponents last year. And Bronco had an interesting number on the inside the BYU football, right, where he said that when you give up a personal foul 15-yard penalty, the other team's 70-something percent more likely to score a touchdown or something like that. He was saying this to
Harvey Lange.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to cut that crap out. There's really no excuse for that. You know, we should be, not that our players are perfect, but you'd think with their background and RMs and things specifically, that they could have a little bit more discipline and that they could be able to.
Well, how much of that is coaching, though, Tosh? I mean, last year we heard it over and over again that Bronco wants them to play right to the line, and sometimes that means they're going to go past it.
It's a valid point, but there needs to be some coaching philosophy change tweaks so that we are able to control those emotions and not headbutt players after plays.
And so those are mine. It's penalties, stay away from penalties. That was the other one. 11% of all first downs gained against BYU last year came on penalties. That's really bad. And so they got to stay away from those big penalties, first down giving penalties. And then, like I said before, red zone performance, that'll be super critical. An early lead.
To me, the key to the game for BYU is establishing a non-Taysom Hill run game. That I think if we're able to hand it off to the backs and get 4 yards a carry, we're going to win. Because that's Nebraska's strength. Is the run defense. If we're still able to do traditional run plays and get 4 yards a carry, Taysom's still going to break out some runs, and it's going to really open up the pass. So that, to me, we need to be able to have our O-line do some damage with those backs.
All right, now we're going to do something this year. Tosh is going to give his best-case scenario, and then I'm going to give my worst-case scenario. Actually, I'll get us started here. Worst-case scenario, Taysom Hill. He gets hurt.
Ooh, that is a bad case.
they're in the they're in the Husker Stadium. Taysom Hill's out. Next thing you know, you're going to see Tanner Mangum out there, and he's going to be playing against the Cornhuskers. That is the worst case scenario. And by the way, I think that could probably be this segment every time for the rest of the year. But just to make it worse, the Cougars fight back after Taysom gets out. They hang in there. It's late in the game, and Nebraska scores to take a lead, and they're lining up for a PAT, and then the Cougars call timeout.
That's a bad.
And then finally,
I've seen that not work before.
And then finally, then the players get in the fight with the Cornhuskers, and there you go. Those are the worst case scenarios. Now, but from a series standpoint, the worst case scenario for the Cougars, it goes back on the flip side. I think if they get down early, and that crowd gets going, I think you're going to have to find out what BYU's made of. And I don't think that if they get down 14 or more points early on, first half, I think that could be really, really a very scary scenario for BYU.
My best case scenario is that we score on our opening drive, we stop them, we score again. Because here's – and I think it's a possibility – but Bronco is incredible if he can create the opponent to be one-dimensional. And if we can get, like you mentioned, is a key to the game, if we can get up and we can make them have to pass, where then what would be the best case is that Bronson Kafusi does what we've all thought he has the potential to do, where he is able to each play put pressure on the quarterback. That's our best case scenario. He's putting pressure on the quarterback. Our secondary, looking at our secondary, I'm stoked. I think we may. I said this last year too. So, but I think we may have one of the better, if not
did
the best, secondary
Davis?
In recent years. Yes, I did hear.
But I think he's playing, right?
I'm not that worried about it. Yeah, I think that to me, and from what I've heard, it's something that the staff was already aware of. That it sounds worse than they're thinking that it really is.
It is interesting to get a charge for a misdemeanor for rioting, though.
When it comes to an argument with a tow truck driver.
Well, hang on, though. Haven't we all been there? Haven't all of us hated the university police parking? University parking, rather?
Yeah.
That company is the worst.
Yes.
They take your
car. Drive around in their little, postal worker jeeps. And
yeah, it's horrible.
But so, yeah, anyway, I think Michael Davis could step up. Anyway, my best case scenario, we get up big early, and then we just, with go fast, go hard, they get tired. I think we're in better shape than we've ever been as a program in physical shape-wise. It's like, why did we not have this type of strength and conditioning coach before with go fast, go hard?
Oh, right? because nepotism's a thing at BYU.
But that's in the past.
If you've been there, you got to be there.
And I think that that's our best case scenario. We get up early, we wear them down, we create one dimension, and we just blow the lights off of them, a la Texas the last couple years.
And BYU does have an identity that Nebraska does not have.
Yeah, for sure. That we know what we're doing. We know who we are.
What was it that Robert and I said? He said something like his team was finally in the best position they were to actually go or something. What was something to that effect.
And many of the players said that they're in the best shape of their lives going into fall camp. So this time's BYU's fall camp too. We weren't having to focus on getting players in shape as much as teaching scheme, which is the same scheme they've learned for the past several years. I feel like we're going to be a more advanced, cohesive unit scheme-wise than we've seen in a long time. And Nebraska with the new coaches on the opposite end of that. That's our best case scenario.
All right, it's time for 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These aren't opinion, these are fact. Question number one, who will have more rushing yards, Nebraska or BYU?
Ah, this stat could decide the game, but BYU is going to have more rushing yards. And the reason why, their backs might have more rushing yards than our backs, but our quarterback will have a lot more rushing yards than their quarterback, so thus we will win the rushing battle.
Question number two, BYU, over or under, BYU has 3 sacks against the Cornhuskers. How many times are they going to get Tommy Armstrong?
Last year, we sucked at getting pressure on the quarterback.
That was the biggest problem. More than anything else, people will blame the secondary, but the biggest problem was getting pressure on the quarterback.
This year is different. Broncos back. We will have over 3 sacks.
Question number 3, does Tanner Mangum, the Elite 11 quarterback, MVP of the Elite 11, does he get a snap in his first game with the Cougars?
No. I thought hard about this because if you remember when Taysom was the prodigy young guy, they put him in just for like a random play on a sec. I think it was a 2-point conversion. But I don't see that happening. No Tanner Mangum yet.
Question number 4, who will have more tackles? Collins, the defensive lineman for Nebraska, or Kafusi, BYU's defensive lineman?
Collins. I think Malik Collins is going to be a force, and that I think as fans we're going to watch and think, oh my gosh, they have got a beast on their team.
Will it be like, you remember when we played like Chris Borland at Wisconsin?
Yeah,
and like
guy.
Everybody was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the remember when, who was the defensive lineman for Oklahoma when we beat them in the season opener? Anyway, they had a guy that was scary.
Remember, Nebraska always has good D tackles. Remember Ndamukong Suh?
Yes.
Did you ever watch him? It was like,
yes.
That's the craziest defensive player I've ever seen.
He was a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, and he should have won.
He should have won. Ndamukong Suh. Oh, man. Anyway, yes. Okay, so Collins keeps it going for the Huskers and their history of good defensive linemen. All right, question number 5. How many times will the commentators talk about the fight from the Miami Beach Bowl?
Too many times. It's going to get annoying, especially because we'll be missing players. They'll be speculating. I mean, it's great, like, fodder for them to talk. I am guessing that it gets brought up 4 or more times.
You and I disagree on this, but I think it's ridiculous that Bronco Mendenhall is not going to announce the suspensions till after the game.
I'm all for it. Like, any little thing we can do to keep them off guard, I'm fine with that.
Cougars, we know, are without Sione Takitaki, and it's been let out of the bag. I think that Harvey Longhi is out for the first half of the game. There's a couple other players whose names have floated out there. The one particular that we can say with confidence is Kainakua is not playing against.
Yeah, I can say with pretty strong confidence that Kainakua will be suspended for the game and that Trey Dye is going to be suspended for the game.
Your source is very close to the program.
Yeah, and I've heard it from several things. And there's been people that have said had the exact same information as me that have said it on Twitter.
Sure.
So I'm very confident on those. And that Karoma will play. There was a lot of speculation he wouldn't. He will.
Question number 6. Will Devon Blackman in game 1 have more touchdowns than he caught all of last year? Which, of course, 0. He didn't have a single one last year.
I think old Blackman's going to have a much improved year this year. But I don't think he scores a touchdown. I think we're, as fans, we're so hyped on him. And I'm excited about him. Don't get me wrong. But I think that we've got receivers that are going to have a better game this game against Nebraska than he will. I think he's still a little bit behind the eight ball compared to some of those other receivers. It's going to be another game or two before we see touchdowns out of old Devon.
Bonus 10 for Tosh. Will Devon Blackman be a top 3 receiver for the Cougars?
No, I think he's 4. If I had to rank, I bet he ends the season as number 4.
I think maybe 5.
It could be. We're pretty
Mitch
deep.
Mitch Juergens is.
We're pretty deep.
Colby Pearson.
Yep.
Houck looks okay.
Yep.
Anyway.
Kurt Henderson,
sure.
He had a better year than him last
year.
So.
Question number 7. Will Taysom Hill have a run over 25 yards?
Yes. I really, really. I'm excited to see it because I want to see him still have that same burst. But 25 yards in the first game of the year when he's totally fresh, he's going to have some big runs.
Question number 8, how many 3rd and 10s or longer does BYU just run a draw up the middle?
3 times. And people will be pulling their hair out.
How many 3rd down and longs are the Cougars going to see?
5. So on a couple of the other ones, they'll run to the outside.
Oh, man. You remember last year, I was just as a on the predictability of the BYU offense and Robert and I, last year in the second half against Houston, the Cougars had 9 drives. All 9 of them began with the Jamal Williams dive up the middle. Fun fact. Question number 9. Who will score the first touchdown of the season for the Brigham Young University Cougars? Or do they not score? Maybe I should leave that option.
No, they will score, and it will be Nick Kurtz.
I think if I was a Vegas bookmaker, my odds-on favorite would be Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice.
Question number 10. Tosh, Sunday morning, we check the newspapers. What is the headline going to be in the papers?
Cougars rip the Husks off the Nebraska. I need to repeat that again. We need to edit that. Cougars de-husk Nebraska.
De-husk Nebraska. The Cornhuskers and the Cougars are locking it up in Lincoln, and it's not just the football game that people should be paying attention to. As always, at BYU, it's not just about the football game. It's about the message. And so now it's time. Leaked once again from Bronco Mendenhall's email. He's using WordPerfect. It's weird.
That is.
Really old.
I love that you always have this source, but I'm worried that maybe people don't go to the fireside because they already feel like they got the message from you.
They don't need to.
No, they still need to. Let's put that out there. They still need to go.
Bronco's Fireside Talk, heavy about Joseph from Egypt, even invokes Genesis 34, 5 through 8. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this is the dream I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisances to my sheaf." And his brethren say unto him, "Thou shalt indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then Bronco will look at the crowd and say, "I too have had a dream that the Cornhuskers will bow before me like these sheaves of corn." Of Joseph's brothers bowed to him. And they will say, "Are you to rule over us?" And just like Joseph, the Cougars will say, "Yes, we will rule over you." And that is going to be Broncos Fireside Talk. It sounds more like a pep rally than a spiritual experience.
It'll be both.
It sort of is both, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah. I think if you're anywhere in the Nebraska area, that should really appeal to you.
You should
go
check that one out. So Joseph was right. Joseph became dominion. His trusting your dreams, having confidence in your dreams.
There you go.
He's dreamed that BYU will beat Nebraska. I don't know. I don't question these fireside talks. Do you?
No.
I mean, why would you?
We're dang good at fireside talks.
One of the national champions. Fireside Talk national champions. One of the things that's exciting about this year, it's been 25 years since Brigham Young University brought home a Heisman Trophy. They did it with the arm of Ty Detmer, but it wasn't just his arm. September 1st, 1990, the Cougars had their first challenge of the season against in the Sun Bowl Stadium in El Paso, Texas. And the first score of the season was by none other than Ty Detmer himself, who took the ball into pay dirt, not through the air, but on the ground. Detmer scored 2 rushing touchdowns on the day, as well as connecting on 33 of 46 passes for 387 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was a 28-yard strike to Natty Valdez. He also threw a pair of interceptions. Peter Tuipulotu also rushed for a touchdown and finished off the scoring total. Was Earl Kaufman. He added a field goal. 30 points on the board for the Cougars, and that stout Cougar defense kept the UTEP Miners to only 10 points, and the Cougars attained the rare road season opener to start off the season. And now they look forward to what is easily being billed as the biggest game in Cougar Stadium history, as Lavelle and the boys welcome the number one team in the country and the previous season national champions, the Miami Hurricanes, to Provo, Utah.
That's great. 25 years ago. Let's make it. Maybe great things happen every quarter century.
Maybe every quarter century. Yeah. If we can't win a national championship, maybe we can get a national award.
Yep.
That'll be all right. So the Cougars, obviously starting the season, hopefully they can repeat with a big opening road victory against the Cornhuskers. But again, Tosh, it's not enough. It's not enough just to watch the game and hope that BYU wins. That's not enough. You have to hate your opponents in order to really enjoy college football. All right, Tosh, why do we hate the Nebraska the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
So there's one obvious reason, to me anyway, after I have researched this, that fans probably don't know about.
You are the minister of hate for BYU fans.
But this will get you fired up. Okay, so Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, gosh.
He's a Nebraska native.
Oh, no.
A Lincoln resident.
Oh,
but here's where it gets worse. So you know how he sounds like he's from the South, has a Southern accent, throws a lot of Southern words in there.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's a scam. He's from Nebraska.
What are you going to tell me next? Is wrestling not real?
Yes, that's also true.
Oh.
So his routine comes from, he had college roommates from Georgia and Texas that he stole their accent, their bit. He's not a Southern get-her-done guy. The guy's a farmer from Nebraska. If that's not a reason to hate the Cornhuskers, and if we don't take that out on them on the field this Saturday...
Phony farmer.
I don't know what to think.
They get in the huddle, 1, 2, 3, phony farmer.
Yeah.
That's just a reminder that the players will have.
Maybe they say get-her-done just to stick it to him.
Sarcasm.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. But without the accent. 1, 2, 3, get-her-done.
Yeah. Because we're not faking, we're from the South. We are who we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason to hate the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they gave us Larry the Cable Guy. All right, Tosh, it's time. The big moment everyone's waiting for. Game and score predictions. How do you see the BYU-Nebraska game going this Saturday? It's on ABC. In the afternoon.
National game.
National?
It's going to go well.
Isn't it regional? Maybe it's regional.
No, it's not.
I'm
sure it's not. It's the national game. Every ABC in the country will be this game. We are going to come out strong. Our defense is going to look better. Our defensive scheme is going to be tighter than we could remember it. And we are going to win 28-17. Upon a very balanced game from Taysom Hill.
I think the Cougars will become America's favorite during that national broadcast. People in the sports bar, people are voracious for some college football. And I think what will happen is that people will, you know how you just sort of pick a team and you start rooting for it? I think the Cougars will be the team that people root for. Maybe that is completely ignorant of how people feel about Mormons. But whatever the case is, I kind of feel like whatever they feel towards Mormons, they probably still remember, at least if you're older, you still remember the Nebraska of old. And so I do think that people will be cheering for the Cougars on the national stage, but I don't know that the Cougars have what it takes to go in and break the 29-game season-opening win streak for the Huskers. I think that they have a lot of talent. They got a new regime in there. I don't think that this is going to be an easy game. Both teams are very, very similar pedigree over the last 3 years. More experience for the Cougars at quarterback, but a little bit I worry about our ability in the trenches. I think that we're going to get blocked well, and I think we have a hard time getting to Tommy Armstrong. And so I think the Nebraska Cornhuskers are going to beat BYU. in a season opener. I think the Cougars are going to struggle a little bit, and I think it's going to be 21-17.
That's a close game.
Yeah, I think it'll go both ways. In the past, Bronco used to be like impossible to beat in close games. He always came out on the right side of close games, and that's just flipped. I don't know if his luck ran out or if his players got worse or both. But unfortunately, I think it's too hard to go and get a road win at the beginning of the season against a very quality team like Nebraska.
Yeah. It should be a good game. I'm confident, though. I think as a fan, we're going to be stoked. This Saturday evening, we're going to be walking around with smiles on our faces and overinflated expectations about how this season will
go. If the Cougars win by 1 point, will people go to the airport to celebrate them?
No, it's not that big of a game. Maybe, yes, some people will. There are crazy people out there who will, but I don't think that will be the norm.
Yeah, they're like, you beat Florida Atlantic.
I don't think it's going to be like when we beat Oklahoma in game one, like there was honking and hooting and hollering in the streets.
Well, but they were a top 10 team.
Yeah, it's not that. I don't even think we'll be as stoked as when we beat Texas 2 years ago. But there will be excitement and there will be a buzz this Saturday evening after we beat the Huskers.
If you want to weigh into the show, please contact us on Twitter at CougarCast. You can also email us, CougarCast@gmail.com. Read VanquishTheFoe.com. It's the best source online for news and opinions about BYU. A lot of smart people over there writing on VanquishTheFoe.com. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and go Cougars. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!